Back in 2015, Dallas and I had the opportunity to go to Montana for elk hunting. And our guide was Craig Schwarzentrooper. Some of you know him. He was our evangelist here a number of years ago. And on several occasions, Dallas and his son would split up and I went with Craig. And I learned so much from Craig. He's an incredible guide. He has a wood sense that I don't have. And so, the title of the sermon this morning is Watch and Pray. And as we were walking along, he would just point out different things that I was totally oblivious to. And one of them was something like this. He said, you know what that is? I said, I don't know. Well, he said, that's a bear marking its territory. And so, okay, that was very reassuring. So, if I'm not watching, I may need to pray. But we'd be walking along on the path, and he said, you see that? I said, what? Well, there's a bear print. He said, that was just last night. I said, how do you know that? Well, I can tell by, the way it looks. It's a fresh bear print. So I felt very safe with him because I could have obliviously walked into territory that could have been very dangerous. You can take it down, Tim. In Scripture, there's a couple of accounts where Jesus says, watch and pray. I want to read them this morning. One of them is Matthew 26. Matthew 26, verse 36. I want to read the two passages, and then we'll talk about what it means to watch and pray. It's Jesus in the garden with his disciples. Then cometh Jesus with them to the place called Gethsemane, and said unto his disciples, sit here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then he said unto them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto his disciples and findeth them asleep. And said to Peter, what, could you not watch with me one hour? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And he went away again the second time, praying and saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them again. Their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, sleep now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go, and behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. Turn to Luke chapter 21. Luke 21, verse 34. Take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, so that the day come upon you unawares. For as a snare it shall come on all of them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore, and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. And in the daytime when he was teaching in the temple, and at nighttime he went out and abode in the mountains that is called the Mount of Olives. And all the people came early in the morning to him in the temple to hear him. So we have two passages where Jesus says, watch and pray. He specifically tells them in the first passage to watch with him, like to fight with me, like the hour is coming, the hour for me is here. And he was very heavy and sorrowful. And he knew what was ahead for them as well. And he said, watch, be careful, lest you enter into temptation. The second part, the second passage in Luke is when he was talking about the end times and signs of the end times and destruction of Jerusalem and the coming of the Son of Man and the parable of the fig tree. But then he said, the most important at the end, he said, take heed for yourselves, lest ye fall. Watch and pray, lest you fall. So important to watch and pray. So I don't know what the word watch does to you today. Watch today is mainly a passive word. We go watch a game. You watch a video. You watch a movie. You go watch a football game or a baseball game or a soccer game. And you basically sit on the sidelines and you just watch. You're not very active unless you're a very energetic, enthusiastic fan who you may participate at a different level. But generally, watching is very passive. And that's not what he's talking about here. He's talking about watching as active, as a watchman guards the gate of a city or guards his flock. It's an active, he's vigilant, he's on his toes. That's the watch he's talking about here. You know, during the day, a watchman doesn't have to be as alert aware of everything that's going on because he can see. A watchman can see what's going on. But at nighttime, it's a totally different story. Back then, they didn't have all the high-tech equipment that they have today to detect movement and people and sounds. And so I'm going to demonstrate. Winston and I are going to demonstrate this morning. Winston, you want to come up? We're going to demonstrate what it's like to watch. So you guys are our sheep, okay? Pretend you're our sheep. Come on up here and sit down. We're our watchmen. And have a seat. Just have a seat. We're watching our sheep. These are all of our sheep out here. Okay? And we got to keep an eye. We got to guard the gate, bud. Like, this is the gate. And you know, sometimes there's people and thieves that try to come steal, right? And we got to be awake and alert. So just kind of look all around the countryside. Up there in the mountains, there could be some wild animals. There could even be people that try to steal our sheep. Do you think that would happen? You think people would try to steal? Ah, you think they could? All right. So, you see anything? See anything happening? See anybody moving? Hey, what's going on? What's he doing? Hey, stop. We got him, didn't we? All right. Now, we're going to turn the lights out. Travis, you want to shut those doors? We're going to try to make it as dark as we can in here. Boy, isn't it a pretty night? Look at the stars. Did you see that star up there? See anything moving? You hear anything? Let's look over here. I think there might be something around. You see anything over here? Let's look around. Back there's someone moving up. They're not a threat. Oh, man. Let's keep looking. You hear anything? See anything moving? Oh! Wow. Man. That was quick. All right, you can draw the lights up. Man, what happened? How did we miss him? You didn't. You saw him. All right. Good. But it was a lot more difficult, wasn't it, nighttime? I mean, we couldn't see. First time, he was standing right there. But man, it's It's kind of scary at night. You going to come out with me tomorrow night? All right, you can go back. So watching is an active, it's not a passive thing. And Jesus is calling us to watch. Be very, very, very watchful. Jesus was very, I think he was sad that his disciples fell asleep, but I think he was even more sad for what was ahead of them. And in the spiritually speaking, they were asleep to what was coming up. Peter was about to deny him. And I couldn't help but think that if Peter had been more awake and watchful, maybe he would have not yielded to the temptation to deny Jesus. If he had paid attention to what Jesus was saying, like, watch that you enter not into temptation. So what happens when we're asleep? What happens when you're asleep? You're not very attuned to what's going on around you, are you? You're pretty dead to the world. You know, there's some people that are more dead. You know, there's some mothers that are pretty, they don't sleep very lightly, I mean very deeply, because they hear a child's noise and wow, they're up. Then there's some other people that you can shake the house down and they'll never wake up. And when you're asleep, you're not attuned to what's going on around you. Like, you may have a few dreams, and in the morning you probably won't remember them unless they were very, very vivid dreams, very real dreams. So when you're asleep, you're insensitive to what's going on around you. You somebody may say, "Man, did you hear a thunderstorm last night?" I didn't hear a thing. You're dead to the world, as they say. You don't hear what's going on around you. That's what Jesus is talking about, of being asleep and not being watchful. We're being dead to the world, to what's going on around us. Being insensitive to our relationship with Jesus, insensitive to our walk with God. We become passive about it. And our relationship with Jesus deteriorates because of our lack of attention to him. We're not watchful. We're not on guard. We become apathetic toward God and toward spiritual things. Another aspect to this watching and falling asleep is the pressures of this world. Like, the pressures around us are incredible. The pressures of our work, or the pressures to provide. There could be hardships. There could be relational struggles. There could be financial struggles. There's a lot of things that put pressure on us that wear us down. And psychologists tell us that the human body can only take so much hardship before it'll just roll over and play dead and say, "I don't really care." They become very apathetic towards life when so much stress has come on the body. And I think that's what Jesus had in mind here when he said in Matthew 24 that he endureth to the end will be saved. Like, there's going to be a pressure in the end times to let down your guard because of all the pressure of the world around us and all the pressures that we deal with. There's going to be a call. There's going to be part of the plan of the devil to say, "I don't care, I give up," and roll over and play dead. Whether it's the spirit of the age, the prevalent thinking of today, the impact on our minds will make us feel tired and weary and want to give up. "I don't care, whatever, I'll just go with the flow." And we've become apathetic and passive toward our walk with God. So on one hand, we have stresses of life, we have disappointment, we have relational struggles, we have financial struggles, that's just wearing us down. On the flip side, God's calling us to be watchful, to be on guard, to be have our relationship with God in tune, to be on guard watching for the plan of the evil one to destroy us. And so we have this balancing act with what do we do with all this struggles and stress of our lives? When on the flip side, we're supposed to be watchful and on point with our and watch out for the enemy. So what do you do with the stresses of life? How do you handle all that's going on around you? You know, it's nothing new. It's the old as mankind. The desire to, or the temptation to fall into apathy and to not care. And God says, Jesus is calling us to be watchful and not to be passive. Also, in the last days, there will be, men will become lovers of themselves rather than lovers of God. And regarding the church, it says, a large portion of the church will fall into worldliness and be more concerned with the ordinary, to be self-centered, to be pursuing their own desires rather than the spiritual working of God. So thus the warning to take heed, watch for yourselves. So there's four things I want to point out in watching. And the first one is in verse 34, it says, watch for yourselves. It says, take heed for yourselves. Take care of yourselves. Look out for yourself spiritually, because the enemy is out to get you. Take heed for yourselves. You got to be on guard. You got to watch out. We're not just going to slip into the kingdom. We have to be on guard. So it calls for us to watch what we're involved in. It calls us to be on guard with our focuses, where our heart is. What is our first love? What about our friends? Who do we spend our time with? What do you do with your problems and your struggles? What do you do with the heavy side of life? Where do you go with your problems and struggles? What do you spend your time doing? Do you love the people of God? How close is your relationship with God? These are all things we must watch and take heed to. God's calling us to watch. Guard yourselves. Guard your hearts. You know, we're easily distracted with the stuff of life. I don't know about you, but I can be easily distracted and to lose focus of my walk with God and to be and not keep that current and sharp. And to fall into sleepiness like the disciples did, like they fell asleep, not only physically, but spiritually, just falling asleep, dead to what's going on around us. And we fall into apathy. We're easily distracted by the world, our fleshly desires, and the schemes of the enemy. And when we take our eyes off of Jesus and his soon coming and the need to be watchful, our attention wanders, our focus shifts, and we begin living and bearing little fruit for the kingdom. And I don't know if you feel that or not. You feel the stress of the age, the stress of the day, to not care. I don't know if you feel that or not, but I tend to feel it sometimes. We need to be on guard. The stresses of life will wear you down if you don't watch out for what is going on around you. I had to think of when we were sitting up here and the watchman at night, you know, he's guarding his sheep. He's guarding his whatever he's guarding. And all he has to be all in. Like, he has to be hearing, seeing, feeling, sensing. And are we spiritually that alive and in tune with what's going on around us? That we can feel and sense the plan of Satan to drag us down and to draw us away from Jesus. We need to be on guard against the deceptions of our time. Men are out to deceive. Ideas. They're out to deceive and draw you away from God. There's many messages in our world today. And we need to be in the Word and be people of the Word so we know what truth is. There are so many messages being sent today. We need to have our antennas out and be in tune. And God says, take heed for yourselves. Like, he has given you everything you need to be in tune with him. He's given you his Word. He's given you a body of believers to fellowship with. He's given you so much to keep in tune with him. So I encourage us to be in tune with God. Be in tune with what is going on around you and be watchful. The second thing is to watch the right thing. Luke 21:36 is frequently used to call us to be on guard prophetically at what's going on in our world with Israel and all the countries and all the movements. It's typically said you watch what the world events, you be in prayer, and then you'll be able to stand against the end times. And I don't believe that's what this scripture is calling us to at all. Yes, we need to know what's going on around us. But that cannot be our focus. The word watch here, translation, has nothing to do with observing the world events. It has to do with watching our souls, watching out our hearts. Where is our hearts? Where is our love, our first love? It talks about being vigilant, being purposeful in our spiritual walk with God, being spiritually awake as we go through life. And if we don't, it's a danger to fall into being self-centered, self-focused, and losing our walk with God, losing focus of our walk with God and being distracted. It's not a call to be glued to CNN and Fox and Drudge and all these, and be so concerned with the world events. I believe we can be so concerned about that we lose focus of our spiritual walk. And that's not what God's calling us to at all. Let me remind you again what it means to be watchful. It means to be in continuous wakeful state as though you're caring for someone who's ill. I don't know if you ever stayed up with a child or stayed with someone who was sick, but I know my mom, when I was sick, would come and check on me at night and see if I'm okay. It's that state of watchfulness, of care and concern for your spiritual life, that it's primary on your focus. It's being in constant vigilance over something like a shepherd, like we were up here watching our flock and we were trying to protect our flock. And it's that sense of watchfulness that we need to live our Christian lives. It's a state of being untouched by the influences that cloud our mind. You know, a lot of things can cloud our mind and our focus. And it's processing those and laying them at the feet of Jesus. Again, I refer to our small groups going through a series, Be Anxious for Nothing. And what do you do with the cares of life and the concerns of life? Where do you go with them? Do we try to fix them and keep them inside and bottle them up, or do we take them to the feet of Jesus? Watchfulness guards against drowsiness and confusion. It denotes the state of being alert, being free from distractions and traps and distractions that tend to draw us away from our calling. I'm just going to give you a personal example, and it's about golf. And I want to say up front, I have nothing against golf. And if you golf, this is nothing personal, but this is just my story. So I've never golfed until I've been around some people here at Life who golf. And so I went along, the first time I went along and drove the cart and then I started trying to hit the ball, and it just doesn't go well for me. And a couple of times I went with Dallas, we were in Florida, and like I was an embarrassment. Like I hit the ball in the other fairway, and yeah, it was kind of embarrassing. And then recently Dalen and I went with Merle, our partner, and again I found that I'm not a golfer. I am not a golfer. And I respect the game of golf that much that I don't want to be out there being a disgrace to the game of golf. And I also realize that if I'm going to get good at golf, I got to spend a lot of time. I got to go to the driving range, and I got to hit ball after ball after ball. And, you know, I've come to the conclusion that for me, that if I would spend the amount of time I need to get good at golf, it'd be wrong for me. It'd be a distraction for what I'm called to do. Now, that's not saying that if you play golf, it's wrong, or I'm just saying for me, that if I had to take the amount of time for me to get good, it would call me away from my other responsibilities that God is calling me to. And I just say that as an illustration that there are sometimes good things that distract us from what God is calling us to do. And I just ask you to be awake and alert and watchful for distractions that come into your life that pull you away from God, pull you away from what God is calling you to do. And we can add things into our schedules that are good. And they may be, it may be even a responsibility here at church. And this is a bad time of the year to say that because we're soon going to ask for Sunday school teachers. But I really believe that there are some times we can be so busy doing good things that it's a distraction to our walk with God. Third thing is to watch out for the enemy. I don't need to tell you nothing new. We have an enemy who's out to destroy us. He's out to get every one of us. And he will wear you down. He knows your weaknesses. He will wear you down and wear you down until there's a point where you give in. And how many times have you been so worn down that in a moment of frustration you lashed out in anger with your tongue? Or in a moment of weakness you looked at something that was wrong? How many times has the enemy wore you down to the point where you give in? We have an enemy who's out to destroy. I think of some, like football, where you know the other team's weakness and you just go after them and go after them and go after them until they give in and you wear them down and you defeat them. 1 Peter 5, 8-9 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in faith." Resist him, steadfast in faith. Be watchful. Be grounded in your faith. Be alive in your faith. Be real in your faith. Keep it current. And here's a part of the verse I don't know if I ever recall. I mean, I probably read it, but it just stood out to me again. "Knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by our brothers in the world." Our brothers all over the world are experiencing our adversary becoming after us. Our adversary is after everyone and every believer in this world to destroy us. The fourth thing in our watchfulness is our weapons. And this is so important. I want you to turn to Ephesians 6. It's very familiar, but I just want you to see it again. Our weapons in this warfare are being watchful. Not only do we have to know who our enemy is and what our weapons are, we have to know what our weapons are in this battle of being watchful. It's Ephesians 6, verse 10. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness in this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith you'll be able to stand and quench the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints." You know, in this battle of being watchful, what God is calling us to, he is giving us a weapons. He's giving us so much to face battle, to face temptations, that we are not alone. We are not alone. God is with us. I think of the song we sing sometimes, "We Are Not Alone." The second thing he calls us to is prayer. And notice the last weapon he talks about is prayer. Praying always with all supplication. And likewise here in Luke 21, It says, watch and praying always. Watch ye therefore and pray always, that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things which shall come to pass. You know, in the garden, sin entered the garden and man ran from God. He ran from fellowship with God. And so when we are running from God, when we are apathetic in our relationship from God, we don't run to God, we run from God. And one of the ways that God knows that we are serious about fellowship with Him is if we are active in prayer. If we are pursuing God in prayer. I believe that's one of the ways that God knows that we are serious about our walk with Him. One of the things that the church at Laodicea lacked was a desire to follow God. They desired to follow God. They were apathetic in their walk with God. And we are living in a time when people are apathetic in their walk with God. In fact, some of them are so far that they don't know that they are out of fellowship with Him, or they even need to be watchful. And so they're on this cycle of they have no awareness of a need, and so they have no desire. And no desire, there's no prayer. And with no prayer, there's no relationship. And with no relationship, there's no awareness of a need, and the cycle continues. God not only offers us eternal life, He offers us fellowship. And that fellowship and power comes through prayer. This incredible gift that God has given us. Now think of the story of Genesis 22:12 of Abraham, when he was about to raise his hand and sacrifice his son. And the angel, the Lord, stopped him, and God said, "Now I know that you fear me because you obeyed what I asked you to do." Abraham was in tune with God. He was in fellowship with God. And God said, "Now I know," because he was obedient to do what God had called him to do. So I believe that the major way that we show God our desire to fellowship with Him is through prayer. And by praying, we are consciously deciding to place ourselves in God's presence, to have fellowship with Him, and to acknowledge our need of Him. Through prayer, we're constantly putting ourselves in God's presence, acknowledging our need of Him. And it's only as, I believe we can only remain faithful as we put our faith and trust in God and be active in prayer. So there's a couple of things about praying, about watchful praying, that I want to talk about. First thing is we need to ask. John 14 says, "And whatsoever you ask in my name, I will do it, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." You know, I think that's incredible that if we ask according to His will, and in His name, He will give it. Second thing is for endurance. To pray for endurance. Hebrews 12:2, "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, despising His shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Being persistent in our walk with God and laying aside every weight. You know, I talked about distractions and the thing that distracts us. Are we willing to lay aside things that could distract us from our walk with God? And just ask God to speak to your hearts of things that God may be asking you to lay aside, a weight that is weighing you down. That you can be watchful, that you can be purposeful in your Christian life. The third thing is strength in trials. 1 Peter 4:12, "Beloved, do not be surprised when fiery trials come upon you and test you as though something strange are happening to you." When trials come, when tests comes, you know, that's, don't be afraid. God is with you. God will give you strength. Strength through trials. Don't be surprised when they come, because God will strengthen you. Be watchful. Be praying always. It's through prayer we consciously decide to place ourselves in God's presence, acknowledging our need of Him. And that's the incredible part of being watchful and praying always. I want to close with the story of a group in Africa that came to know the Lord and were very serious about their walk with God. And they all took prayer very seriously. And so they had their prayer closets outside in the bush. And so they would walk out through the village, and they would make a trail to their prayer closet, and they would spend time in prayer with God. And the villagers took this very serious. And occasionally they would see grass growing up on someone's trail. And they had the care for each other and the brotherhood that they would go to them. And it became a tradition that if they saw grass growing on your trail, they would go up to them and say, "Brother, friend, there's grass growing on your prayer trail." And they would ask them, what's going on? And so my question to you is there grass on your prayer trail? You know, think about Jesus when he was in need of communion with the Father. He spent much time in prayer. He knew his strength come from prayer. And God is calling us to be watchful and praying. It's connected. To be purposeful in our Christian life, to watch out for the enemy, and our strength comes by putting ourselves in the presence of God so we can hear from Him, so we can have communion with Him, and so He can speak to our hearts and strengthen us. I want to read 34 to 36 again. "Take heed to yourselves, lest any of you, any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, so that the day come upon you unawares. For as a snare it shall come on all of them that dwell in the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore, and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for calling us to be watchful. And Lord, there's so many distractions in this life and cares that wear us down. Lord, I just ask that we would lay them at your feet and be truly in tune and purposeful in our walk with you, to watch, to be always in prayer, connected to you, putting ourselves in your presence, asking you to touch us and speak to our hearts. Thank you for what you'll do for each of us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.